Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Get back into your phone call, 617-779-7937. We were both watching some college football last night.
Yes, we were.
And I do think Colorado applies to the Patriots in a few different ways. That would include a guy who could be very highly drafted. Is there a chance we could have a two-way player in the NFL soon? We'll get to that coming up. Plus, of course, we have the grab bag before we get out of here today. But joining us right now on WEEI is Red Sox insider Lou Merlone. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, where you can win free groceries in their Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Lou Merlone, how are we doing this week?
Well, I'm good. I'm definitely well-rested, that's for sure. So, I got up around 12:30. Actually, I got up around 7:30 because we got in around 3 a.m. and was like, no, this isn't good enough. I'm going back to bed. Next thing you know, it's late.
So, nice.
I'm good.
Nice.
All right.
Well, how should we feel about this Red Sox team? We're already this week, Lou. Rich and I have been totally out. We got sucked back in. Then last night happened. How should we be feeling about the Red Sox these days?
Yeah, that's a homestand you just can't have like this time of year. You know, it was nice coming back-to-back and winning those two games against Toronto, but the reality is you went 2-6, you know, and the sad part is that Minnesota's not really playing well at all, and you're 3.5 out, right? Can you turn this thing around? For me, I think I just sort of go in day-to-day. I'm not trying to ride this emotional roller coaster. It's almost like the player in me kind of like just show up, win today, don't worry about a scoreboard, then look up and see where you are. So Bayo seems to be getting stronger. I liked what I saw from Crawford last night, but now like injuries are starting to creep in, right? Because you know, even with Devers coming back into this lineup, hopefully the next two nights at DH, it's taking Yoshida out of the lineup, who's one of your better hitters. It has been one of the best hitters since the All-Star break in the game, especially by batting average. So I don't know. They're in a tough spot, and they're playing teams that don't suck, that are pretty good. They're facing Scooble tomorrow. So they're in the area where they have to start winning series, and they haven't been doing that recently.
You hit on it, Lou. Minnesota's not playing well. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They've lost 4 in a row. So they want you to stay in it. Like, they're allowing you to stay in it because the Royals have taken off. It used to be 3 teams for 2 spots. Now it's 2 teams for 1 spot. And there is a series with Minnesota later on. So you just got to keep this thing close. And looking at the schedule, Detroit, New York, and then the White Sox, and New York being the Mets, then the White Sox, they probably have to go 6-3 during that stretch, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And regardless of what Minnesota does, because, I mean, the goal is for now to actually still make that September 20th series against the Twins mean something, right? Like, that is the goal. But yeah, if Minnesota loses the next 6 and you go 1-5, there's no reason to celebrate because Seattle just went by you. Detroit just went by you. Tampa just went by you, right? So you got to start looking behind you if you keep playing at this pace.
I'm looking at Brian Bayo. You mentioned him earlier, and he is pitching better. Best start of his career, as you said the other day. His career ERA, I know maybe it's not the most new wave way to look at it, 4.71, 4.24. Right now he's at 4.66. And he is pitching better. Why should we believe, and maybe you don't, but why should we believe that now we're seeing him turn over a new leaf and it's not just the same, he's good for a stretch, bad for a stretch, Brian Bayo?
Well, I mean, at some point, he has to put stretches together to make everybody really believe that, right? But I did like what I saw from him the other day. I do think he's starting to have a better understanding of, you know, the four-seam fastball, and I think it's just a maturation of a pitcher, you know, more than anything. It does take a couple of years sometimes. Some guys come out right away and just hit it running, but for him, this is like an example of like what you said. People should not give up on the guys like Crawford and Houck. And the reason why I say that, because sometimes you need that foundation season. And last year he threw, 160 pitches. There's a reason why he's the one that's looking like he's getting stronger, because he's done it before. So he attacks an offseason physically to know how do I get to 180? How do I get to 190? These other guys are having that season number one of trying to figure out how to pitch to 160. And hopefully next year, you know, they realize it, or they work in the off season, which they did this year, and just kind of get stronger. But I think his stuff plays. I still think there's really not much different at all between he and Luis Castillo's stuff. The difference is confidence. The difference is location. The difference is being a professional and understanding how to go through the rigors of it. So there's potential there, but I'm not, you know, ready to say that this is who he's going to be for the rest of his career. It's up to him to actually show it to me first.
I know Marcelo Mayer's hurt out for the year, but those other guys, is there any scenario where they make their major league debuts this year, or is it all about you know, showing up sometime next year?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm ready to see Christian Campbell. You know, like I am. Like I'm not one. You know, one of these. Like the year he's having right now. I mean, he gets promoted to Double A and he hits what, 360, 370. He goes to Triple A and he's doing the same thing. Like, you know, with Hamilton going down, Devers kind of being in and out. You need an extra infielder. You know, you got Gasper at second base that I like, but still Sogard. You know, these guys are up here. Let this kid come up. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't wake up from the nap. You know, maybe he just continues right. We've seen it before. Jacoby Ellsbury came up, you know, and you're just like, well, let's just see, not put too much pressure on him and just put him in this lineup and see what happens. Like, I don't know. I think you're close to that spot of almost seeing this kid, cause given the year that he's having, just to give him a look.
No, I mean, you mentioned Ellsbury. That's a good one. Like, we saw Bogarts come up in 2013. We saw Devers in 2018. So they've done it before. Those are all World Series winning teams. I don't know if that's the expectation here, but we've seen guys come up and contribute right away. Red Sox are just wrapping up a homestand, like you said. They're 31-38 at home. Just in your experience as a player, covering this team for a long time, what is a bad home record correlate with, especially when you're a good team on the road? They're 11 games over 500 on the road. How do you square those two away?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to comprehend. I mean, obviously it's the defense, and we said this for a while before some of the numbers started kind of showing up, because it was like, I don't know why you play bad at home, but for some reason you can't catch the ball. For some reason, it's just unearned runs. You kill yourself, and you don't swing it as well because you strike out too much as a team to even take advantage of that, you know, of Fenway Park. And I don't think anything really gets in a team's head for a week or two. But when you start playing the way you play at home, and it's end of July, and it's into August, and it's into September, and you play well on the road trip, you jump on that plane, you're like, all right, we're going home. And the first thought is, man, we have to play better at home. So there's always this, like, wonder, you know, like, you start getting in your head when you're 5 months into the season. It's like runners in scoring position. When it lasts for a month, guy goes up there and he's like, man, I got to get a hit here because nobody else can. We can't hit with scoring position. It starts to become a mental game. So I don't know what it is. Team plays well at home. Is it the fact that they don't have any right-handed hitters at Fenway? Like, we make fun of the Yankees for not having any lefties at Yankee Stadium. But their lefties hit well there. So I don't know. It's something I think that they need a big right-handed bat. That's what they need.
Well, because Cora was asked the same question recently, might even have been by you, and it was he mentioned the home runs too. Maybe even, you know, equal with the errors. Clearly, the unearned runs is a major factor, but they're not socking as many dingers at home as they are on the road. And over the last few years, I feel like even different GMs have made runs at it with, like, Hunter Renfroe, Adam Duvall, Tyler O'Neill, yeah, Ref Snyder. But that's probably what they just need the most. We focus on pitching so much, and I still want them to target starting pitching. But, you know, if you're going to have Devers and Casas here, you're going to have Duran here, like, that's got to be it. I don't know who it is, but they got to get a big bopping bat for the middle of the lineup that's a righty.
Yeah, well, that dude we just saw in Toronto looks pretty good, too.
He does. Yeah, he does.
And you mentioned those names, and they're great. You know, like, they've been nice one-hit wonders. You know, same thing with Tyler O'Neill here as well. But they shouldn't be hitting thirds for you. You know what I mean? Like, those should be guys. That's the right-handed bat you should be adding to hit sixth for you or seventh for you. You know, the three-hole hitter that, you know, that they've lost since J.D. Martinez, or right-handed bat since, you know, Prime Xander or Mookie. Like, that's what you need to put in the between Devers and Casas for years to come. You know, if you want to bring a one-year guy in, like a Duvall or Renfroe or an O'Neill, you know, or 2 years of them, whatever, so be it. But, you know, the great lineup, those power bats, like those guys, probably should be in that fifth, sixth, seventh hole, not in the three hole, which we've seen Ref Snyder, we've seen Wong, we've seen O'Neill, you know, in those spots. And that's the biggest thing, well, offensively, other than obviously starting pitching next year.
Well, speaking of pitching, last night, Lou, we saw Rich Hill, the immortal Rich Hill. Yeah. I don't think he was a teammate of yours, but he easily could have been. You've ever faced Rich Hill? Probably did.
No, I never did.
But it is pretty remarkable, and Jones kind of joked about it. On the one hand, it's like a cool story, and like, good for him, 20 years pitching and all these different teams.
Yeah.
But then also, it's like, you have a team in the playoff race, and they got a call on a guy who's been out of baseball, who's 44, to come in and, you know, in these games that are super important for him.
Yeah, it's kind of where you are when the Paxton injury happened. Uh-huh. Like, it was, Paxton was supposed to be like kind of like a depth starter. You know, you didn't go get a frontline guy, so you just got a guy in there to hopefully, you know, give you five or six and keep you in it. And he goes down. It's sort of like, now we're really thin. Like, before you got, and I don't even know if Rich Hill's going to start games or not, but you needed arms, period. I mean, if you wake up today and Cutter Crawford feels something in his elbow, who are you calling up? Like, what are you? Are we back to having an opener and then two openers? Like, you still got a lot of games to play. So that's where Rich kind of comes into play. So I thought he looked really good last night. I don't care about the velocity. He's old. He knows how to pitch. He's got good spin on all of his stuff, so he's still effective. And if he gives you 3 outs, 6 outs, 9 outs, or maybe 5 innings here in another week or so, so be it. But it's a nice free addition. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. A guy sitting out there would be dumb not to pick him up. You know, he can throw.
Mm-hmm. All right, he is Lou Maloney, our Red Sox insider here on WEEI. Lou, we're going to try to figure out a way to get the Dong Report going again here in the middle of the day. It's difficult to squeeze that in the middle of the day. I don't quite know how we're going to do that.
I remember, I always liked the Dong Report. I like kind of going up there, you know. You know, then you kind of go through the numbers, 33. Who's 33? He said, I like that. I was like Larry Bird.
Yeah,
rock
you,
and roll.
You ever rock a 33? What'd you rock back in the day?
No.
26?
No 33.
26? I see 50.
I was all over the map. Yeah, I was all over the map. 50 as a rookie, 26, 28 in San Diego. Came back 1 year at 13 because somebody was wearing 26.
Ooh, 13. Dang. Yeah. A snipe there.
All over.
I see a 12 in Cleveland and a 21 with the Angels as well. Nice.
Yep.
All right. Well, Lou, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lou.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Lou Maloney, our Red Sox insider, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. I tried to just fact check that real quick. Batter versus pitcher. Did he ever face Rich Hill?
I don't think so.
Inconclusive. Wolf hair inconclusive.
I did find out, though, Rich Hill has given up home runs, dongs, if you will, to 141 different batters.
Nice.
Who's hit the most off of him? Former Red Sox great?
Really? Yeah. Hang on.
Well, great. I'm putting loosely.
Well, no, former I'm saying, but it is a Red Sox.
Yeah, former Red Sox.
Who?
Mike Cameron. He play here?
He did. Yeah, Cameron played here.
Different hiccup.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, but
he had four dongs off of Rich Hill.
Where Rich Hill spent a lot of time? He spent a lot of time in the NL Central. How'd that happen?
He spent a lot of time everywhere.
Cubs, well, that's true. Spent a lot of time.
Dodgers, Cubs. Those he gave up the most home runs for the Dodgers and the Cubs.
Okay.
Then the Red Sox, Pirates, Rays, Padres, Orioles, Mets, Indians, Twins, A's.
Because Mike Cameron was
81 games here. Really had
Cameron
here. Yeah, Mike Cameron had 81 games here.
See, that's a good pull then by me.
81 games?
I remember that.
Great pull.
Saw that Rich Hill and Brady went to college together.
Is that right?
What?
Rich Hill and Tom Brady went to Michigan together, I believe.
Huh. Makes sense. I mean, he's 44 years old. Brady's got to be 46.
Right. Yeah, in that vicinity.
Ageless.
Nice. Age, you don't have an age.
Milton High School, Rich Hill. Vampire blood is what that is. All right, no, look, it's a good story for Rich Hill. It's a bad story for the Red Sox. That's the best way I can square
both
that
can
away.
Both can be true.
Don't need to watch him.
It's fine.
As a Red Sox fan, I can root for him, but like the fact that he's out there. Look,
four big outs last night.
I get what Lou's saying. He's here because of James Paxton, but they never should have gone down.
James Paxton's here because of
they should have never gone down that road in the first place. Yeah. Like they never needed to experiment with a guy who was going to get hurt and really wasn't having a good year in the first place. They should have aimed a little higher than that.
Yeah.
I like his answer about they struggle at Fenway because they don't have the right-handed bat.
Yeah. They don't sock enough dingers over
like
there.
That, that's
it's a short porch. It's high.
That's the first answer that really makes sense to me. You know, other than they haven't like taken advantage of the ballpark, maybe defensively. They don't have guys who fit well defensively.
Yeah, they've really butchered it. I think some of their bad games earlier in the season, remember when, like Hamilton couldn't field, like that was at home, I guess.
But from a team building standpoint,
they got to sock more dingers.
We got on this with Breslow earlier in the week. It's like, how do you not build a team for Fenway? You don't have any right-handed hitters. So that's probably your answer. 6-1.
Jones, Danny Jansen swings
back. You know what?
Dan Jansen.
And he's made history. He's made history as well, which I like.
You know that he played for both teams in the same game?
And caught his own at bat?
Yeah.
It's like Bugs Bunny. Remember when he did that?
That is very...
He pitched and hit and caught and played left field.
He did the whole thing. Yeah, that's true. He was running all over the diamond.
Yeah, he was nice.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. A lot of Patriots quarterback talk throughout the first week of the show. Did they make the right call? Did they make the wrong call? What are you rooting for as a Patriots fan? What do you want to see? Something we've discussed all day long and really all week long here in the first week of Jones and Keefe. We'll get to the grab bag coming up about 20 minutes from now. Stay tuned for that.
A lot of stuff in the bag.
A lot of stuff in the bag. That's true. If you missed any of Lou Maloney trying to convince us to buy in on the Boston Red Sox, it's up now on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Go check that out. Be up on YouTube as well. One prospect he wanted to see, I found this interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Call up Christian Campbell.
Let it
ride.
He's probably the one with the biggest stock up out of all those guys.
Yep.
Because for the longest time, it was they got three guys. Oh, no.
The big three.
Circle back to like 2 years ago. Marcelo Mayer, just him. He's
That's
the best ever. Then, Roman Anthony actually might be better than him. And then they draft Kyle Teal.
Kyle Teal, nice.
They got three guys. Now, Christian Campbell. all right, now you have four guys that might have it, and then Lou thinks he should be the one that we see.
Here's all I know. I'm all for calling these kids up this year, and I don't think it's waving a white flag. I think
let's see him.
He added Ellsbury to my. I kind of forgotten Ellsbury came up in the middle of that pennant World Series run. Forget pennant, World Series run. But I remembered it with Bogarts. I remembered it with Devers. Right, Ellsbury was part of that.
Yep.
Call these kids up. I'm not predicting a World Series, but maybe they give you a shot in the arm. Maybe they can play.
Why not?
And Meyer can't. He's hurt.
No, he's
and Cora,
always hurt.
Cora talked about how the injuries are concerning.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, call them up and see if you get anything out of them. And if not, maybe it sets them up better to start next year with the big
one. And what's great, too, is you bring these guys up who, and the point of Campbell, as Lou points out, he was great at Double-A, great at Triple-A. Like, who knows? Maybe he just stays hot for the whole year. And there's not a ton of expectation on him, or pressure, I should say. Like, you throw him in eighth, ninth in the batting order, right? You put him in there, and he's just one of a number of guys, and you're not really asking him to do too much. You're like, hey, you got to come in here and lead off, or you got to come in here and carry the offense. Like, no, just be a part of it. And if you're playing guys like Sogard and others, like, why not room for Campbell?
No. So I think that was an interesting answer from Lou. You can check out the full interview again, Odyssey app, or on YouTube. When it comes to college football last night, Keith, I don't think college football always resonates in New England, specifically in Boston. But I get the sense a lot of people, A, watch Colorado, B, feel strongly about Deion Sanders, and C, were watching that game last night. I just got the sense from being on social media,
watching
the game. You know, it started the weekend before, but it was such a light slate.
Yeah, you had the Florida State,
Georgia Tech in Ireland.
In Ireland.
And then you had like SMU late, but there weren't a lot of real good games in week zero.
Yeah.
Last night it kind of kicked off, and the marquee game was Colorado.
No, they're super polarizing. I watched their first half of the season easy last year, and then they really just nosedived and were bad. But Deion and everybody, he's the most polarizing coach, and there are actually a lot of them, but we don't talk a lot of college football around here, but Deion Sanders, like, banning one of the reporters from asking questions at his press conferences, him taking basically all these transfers in, all these transfers out. He's got his kid as the quarterback who is a Heisman candidate, has a chance to be, like, I don't know how to view him as an NFL player. Like, he's...
Shadur?
Yeah, like, I don't know if he's, like, a first-round pick or, like,
he's tiny, isn't he?
I think he's kind of on the smaller end.
I'm not anti-small quarterbacks, by the way. But he is smaller. It's something worth bringing up. Yeah.
But he talks a lot of trash, does Deion, right? It's Coach Prime. Like,
yeah.
They don't call him Deion Sanders anymore, which is bizarre to me. He's Coach Prime. Everybody go, Coach Prime.
Look, Deion Sanders was my pick here for the next head coach, okay?
You still want him?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I soured on him. I liked him last year, but like,
here's what I don't like.
You can't be sensitive and banning reporters from your press conferences.
No, that's soft. That's definitely soft. We can get into his coaching decision last night. We can get into his coaching decision last night. Like, it was a horrible in-game decision.
He barely beat one double-A team.
Well, right. They won by a score. I had the under in the game last night, so I was frustrated by that.
Yeah.
But they were throwing when they could have just run out the clock. Like, what are you doing?
He wants Shador to win the Heisman. That's what he's doing.
But I like the guys want to play for him. I like that he's a
Do they, though?
Yeah.
So they've had almost as many guys transfer in as transfer out.
I know, but it was a crappy team. Like, I said this to Andy the other day. You can't have this both ways. You can't be like, oh, no one wants all the bad players want to play for him, but he's getting all the bad players off the team, and he's bringing in good players. Mm. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, I think guys want to play for him, yes.
All right, we'll see.
We will see.
I mean, I think some of the skill guys do. I don't know how many defensive guys or offensive linemen want to play for him.
No, but...
Offensive linemen clearly don't.
But I don't know. There might be... it might be the top two picks in the draft are playing for him.
You think Shador is one of the top two picks?
I mean...
It's his kid. He kind of has to play for him.
Okay,
he
fine.
No, but Travis Hunter I'll give you, who I love.
Okay.
Love Travis Hunter.
But hang on. But yeah. Those guys might go 1-2 if Shador is the best quarterback in the country.
So I don't see that happening.
Okay, fine. But I'm saying if he is...
I guess.
Go check mock drafts right now.
He goes up there.
He goes in the top 10 of mock drafts. Fine. So he's got two top 10 players, not the top
two.
Yeah,
but his wife gave birth to one of them. Like, okay. That counts? Like,
okay.
He really did a great job recruiting him.
Okay, then give me Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I'll give you Hunter.
He was the number one recruit. He got the number one recruit in the country to go to Jackson State and then follow him to Colorado. And...
How much money did he give?
Whatever, who cares? I don't care.
No, it's good.
And so they're playing him rather.
It could be like a Calipari situation. Like, Calipari would be a guy I want recruiting, but I don't want Calipari coaching. So like
Calipari can get
the players.
But don't the Patriots need a recruiter?
Yeah, I guess. But is Kraft still gonna pay him? So that's the problem. Not even Deion, but I mean, is he going to be? So Deion could tell Brandon Ayuk, like, hey, this is cool. We got The Rock on the sideline. Like, this is a great place to be. It's easier to recruit college kids, by the way. They're 20.
It is.
But pros. If Robert Kraft's like, guess what? I'm not going
to
pay him that.
You don't bring in Deion to cheap out. If you're bringing in Deion, you're doing the whole thing, would be my argument.
Yeah, but he needs to also.
If you're bringing in Deion.
Not to get too football
nerdy.
You're
bringing him into a recruit and you're paying people. Yes.
He needs really good coordinators, not to go too far afield, because I don't know if he's a coach.
Fine.
I'm not sure about that.
Fine.
All right.
He's a figurehead.
I need like Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels.
Energy. Vibes. Recruiting. I like Colorado. I'm rooting for them.
Sunglasses at night games.
I love it. I like the gray beard. I like the gray beard he's got going on.
Now,
you see that?
That looks legit. Yeah.
Oh, you do like that?
The gray beard?
Yeah.
Well, he's a gray beard. Hey, gray beard.
Hey, gray bush.
No.
Yeah.
No, gray beard, we'll call him.
Well, that's what they
We don't know if the carpet matches the pubes. We have no idea on that. But anyway.
I would wager on it, but I don't know. You're right.
We're not going to bet on that. You can't find that anywhere. It's not in the books.
Pull up the apps. I'm an ESPN bet guy. I bet they have that. So, I like them. I'm rooting for them.
But it's entertaining because I feel like people either are rooting for them or are rooting against them. I do find myself rooting more for them. Like, last year, I was all about it. I got me into college.
I bet them week one purely on Deion being there, and it was just such a rush. I forget who they beat. They smoked them. It was great. They covered. I'm sorry. They won straight
TCU.
Up. They were an underdog, and they won straight up.
It was like the Big Ten
like
noon game. I think
it was great,
and it was a blast.
Yeah.
And like they have a bunch of kids who are good. Jeremy Horn, one of their receivers, had like 200 yards last night. He was there last year too. He's really good. But yeah, they were fun, and then they barely beat Colorado State, and you're like, oh wait a minute,
the wheels are about to fall
might
off.
Not be good. Yeah, that was a late game, right? That ended at like midnight.
It's like 1 a.m.
And then they fell apart. And they didn't I don't know if they even won a game. Like they're playing Oregon. They're playing they're getting like absolutely pantsed. But no, I think they're fun to watch. They immediately provide a couple of household names as the coach, the son, and then Travis Hunter. Like, those are household names across college football.
Okay, so if you missed last night and you're unfamiliar with Travis Hunter, he is, he was the number one recruit in the country a few years ago, I think. I mean, you know.
He was, at least on most of them.
At least a highly recruited guy. And he's a two-way player. So he's playing for Colorado. He had three touchdowns last night.
Yeah.
The third one was sick.
Yeah.
He was getting shoved down by the corner. And he's able to reach back, grab the ball, stay in bounds, hold on to the ball, maintain it, all of that.
He's fast.
And Horn also had a monster game last night, but he's not the same level of NFL prospect. So Hunter played basically every snap on offense and every snap on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know your answer on whether or not you want that
to
return in the NFL.
Yes, I do.
But, like, could he be the NFL's Ohtani in that he's an impact player on both sides of the ball? He's not going to be an MVP candidate, but can he be that level of player? Does the NFL need that level of player?
Yeah, I don't know if it needs it. Like, the NFL, like, is such a machine. Like,
needs is the wrong word. Would it be fun?
It'd be super fun. Like, baseball needs the Ohtani. Like, they needed something like a shot in the arm. Like, they needed steroids in 98. They need Ohtani in the 2020s.
They need, like, 50 Ohtanis.
They need more Ohtanis if you could get some. Yeah. But, no, football's fine. Like, the ratings and the money and everything else. But I still think, like, why not? It's just one of those things, like, I think they're very comparable because pitchers aren't supposed to hit. And you're like, well, how come in high school all the pitchers are the best hitters? Or like almost. It's like, well, yeah, but then they got to stop. They have to stop because that's what somebody told us to do. They have to specialize. And then in football, now I know like if you go to like Texas or Florida, guys already there are probably playing one side of the ball. But if you go around here in Massachusetts, New England, even the good teams, like you'll find kids that are good and play at both. Now, it's insanely tough. Like, it is a grind. Like, you're asking a lot. There's a million injuries, and now you double that because you're playing twice as much. So it's super rare, but that's also what makes it so cool. And if he can do it,
that's
like,
what's awesome.
And it's great that he's playing for Deion because Deion did it a little bit in the pros. Charles Woodson did it a bit to win the Heisman back at Michigan. I want to say he dabbled. I feel like I didn't look this up, but he lined up at wide out a few times, but he was a corner.
Yeah.
I just think it would have to be the right team, the right coach, willing to do it. Because I guarantee you, hypothetically, the Patriots take him. Gerard Mayo would be like, let's do it. Elliott Wolf would be like, no, no, no. He's like, we're paying this guy to be a wide receiver. We don't need him messing around as a corner.
What is he better at? Is he a better receiver or a better corner? I thought he was a better corner.
I think he might be a better corner, actually.
What I think he is.
But what's more valuable in the NFL?
Oh, wide receiver. I agree with you on that. But like, if you can have an elite corner and a good wide receiver, like you, I mean, I play them both.
I'm having both.
What is he the better prospect at? I think he's a better prospect as a corner.
Probably as a corner. But then, you know, those things can change, right? Like this season, say he's, you know, if Shedeur Sanders has a Heisman type season, chances are Travis Hunter has a like Biletnikoff level wide receiver year, and he's up there for that award.
Yeah.
And so if he has, you know, double digit touchdowns, I mean, it's three yesterday, and he has well over like 1,500 yards, like, I don't know, teams might say, hey, I know you can cover, and maybe we'll have you do it a little bit, but we want you to be our number one receiver.
Yeah. And Maybe. I thought Bill would force it sometimes with like the, oh, we're going to move a guy over to defense. Like, just sign a corner, Bill. Like, you don't need to have Edelman playing on defense. Troy Brown really might have been out of necessity that year.
Yeah.
Like, you don't
he had a couple picks. He
you don't
good.
Need these guys to do that. Okay.
No,
like,
no.
So like just sign a corner. But if you're coming into the league as a top prospect on both sides of the ball and
awesome.
A guy who's already doing it in college, that is awesome. And I'm rooting for that at the next level, but you're probably right. An NFL team will probably force him to pick one side or the other,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame. 37937. Guys, Sanders isn't a top pick. He's number 25 in mock drafts. Clowns.
Which mock draft? Is that Walter Football?
Yeah, I don't
know. They're all different, by the way.
Right.
And even saying he's 25, like, all right, it's the beginning of the year and he's already a first-round pick.
Oh.
Joe Burrow going into his last year was like a sixth-round pick projected and shot up the board.
I swear to God, I've seen him as the top quarterback in mock drafts. And I want to say I've seen him number one overall. I'm not going to swear to that. But I've seen him as the top quarterback in mock drafts.
Yeah.
So there's number one. Number two, no good games week zero, Florida State versus Georgia Tech, you morons. Those were separate moron texts, by the
no,
way.
No, we
separate
mentioned
numbers.
That one.
No, no. But that also wasn't like, I meant on paper, there wasn't a good slate of games. There were like four games.
And it's not, week zero is there, light.
And there were no two top 25 teams.
Yeah, now there's like two or three of those.
It was a good finish, but Florida State played like crap.
Sports Illustrated yesterday came out with their way too early top 10 mock draft.
Yep. Shador must not be in there since he's number 25 and it's only 10 players.
He went eighth.
Nice.
He went eighth.
That's lower than I was making it out to be, but still eighth.
And not, he was behind, 20. Let's see.
Carson Beck.
Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, and no, that's it. So he's the third quarterback, according to this one. So
yeah.
Like they're all a little bit different, but just, whatever. He's a first-round pick.
Just one mock. But no, Colorado is good for college football. And it's good for college football like in this market.
Uh-huh.
Like a market that does not care about college football.
You wouldn't be interested. But
it's easy. It's Deion. It's Deion's kid. It's top-flight quarterback, which, again, there are connections to this. You were telling me, I've not heard Andy say this, but you should be rooting for Shedeur Sanders. This is Andy Hart's take.
This is a good Hart take.
Yeah.
You know, more of this coming up at 2 o'clock here on WEEI, but Hart was saying...
A rare good Hart take.
A rare one that I'm going to repeat right
now,
but I'm
going to
give him credit.
Yeah.
So if you hate it, just again, it's his.
Yeah, it's
if you kind of like
it's not ours.
No. Yeah. But basically, we all think the Patriots will probably pick in the top five, no matter how it all shakes out, Brissett, May, whoever, probably in the top five. So you want as many quarterbacks high on the board, just like the last couple of years where quarterbacks are going 1-2-3 or at least 1-2. So say you're sitting there at 2 or 3 and, you know, Ewers, Beck, and Shedeur Sanders are all worth top three picks.
It's good for you.
Somebody's going to trade you a ton while you can move down, grab that left tackle, or maybe Travis Hunter, or just a bounty of picks.
Or
who?
You can just punt on Drake May and say, I like this kid better.
Yeah, you could Justin Fields, Caleb Williams it
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You could do that.
Could,
then you trade Drake May. Yeah, you could.
You could, what was the guy's name in
Trey
Arizona?
Trey Lance, I think, went for like a fifth.
Good call.
Oh, Josh Rosen.
Yes. You could Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray.
He was a clown.
He was bad.
They actually blew out the coach and the quarterback after 1 year. Jerod Mayo. Mm-hmm. So here you go. Jerod Mayo and Drake May. Are they closer to D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud? Or Steve Wilkes and Josh Rosen? I think there is a middle ground that they could.
There is.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm going to bet on Houston if they give him the chance, though. They're closer to that.
Yeah. The guy's going to play first.
Yeah. You got
to give him a first-team rep.
Yeah, you got to get him out there is what you got to do. Was Rosen the guy who had, like, the hot tub in his dorm room?
Yeah.
That was him, right?
Yeah, he went to UCLA. He was probably a pretty cool cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good time to athletically peak.
Sure. Just, yeah, if you're going to do it before
peak,
the pros.
Peak in life.
At UCLA, you're doing all right.
Athletic peak, eighth grade.
Yep. Same with me.
That was my athletic peak.
Dominant force.
No, you must have had a much better peak.
Well, I kept playing, but I was probably at my best in eighth grade.
In eighth grade.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if you were at your best in eighth grade and you kept playing after that.
I kept playing, but
yeah.
But I'm still like people.
I did a lot.
Grade, like,
after eighth grade, I did a lot of riding the bench is what I did.
Because I was like this height, I think, in eighth grade,
but
I was probably 50 pounds less, so I was fast.
I've been this height since junior high.
Yeah.
I haven't grown. I mean, I've been taller than Andy Hart my whole life, but I haven't grown
no.
Since then. No.
No. Spiritually, emotionally,
in any way whatsoever. I've not checked out. Grown and or matured, but yeah, no. Josh Rosen with the hot tub at UCLA. That must have been a good ride.
Is he a backup? Like
Matt Leinart peaked in like college at USC.
But that's like the ultimate peak.
That's awesome.
Get a Heisman and like a national title.
Yeah, he did like he Van Wildered it at college. He like stayed like extra years. He's like, I'm not going to the NFL. I'm staying here.
Smart. Yeah. I always found it odd that they would have like Matt Leinart and Brady Quinn on the same like Fox set. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't you just want one of those types?
Yeah.
You have two of those types?
Oh, it's
good. Really good college NFL bust who was like a Heisman winner or candidate.
But they're on the college broadcast, though. You don't want them on an NFL broadcast.
No, they are on the college broadcast, but I feel like you could go like, all right, we have our quarterback prototype.
Oh,
boom.
I see.
Now let's go running back. Let's go defense.
Yeah.
Two of the same guy.
You're
I don't know. Both handsome. Like, I'm not trying to tell you they're not handsome. Brady Quinn married an Olympic gymnast.
Oh.
This is Sacramony. Local girl.
Very handsome man. Matt Leinart, very handsome man.
Sure he is. I don't know who he married, but I'm sure he's doing all right.
Josh Rosen on standby.
Not handsome.
So there you go. Any thoughts on that? You can jump in. You can also jump in line for Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. They come your way at 2 o'clock here on a Friday going into Labor Day weekend. We'll get to the grab bag next.
It's time for grab bag. It's time for grab bag.
Time for grab bag, as you just heard here on Jones and Keefe. WEEI. I was just filling the fellas in on what happened last night in my college football dynasty.
It sounds like a rough loss.
Yeah, I almost hucked my controller through the TV. I lost to Colorado, fittingly enough. We're just talking a lot about Colorado.
Yeah.
I've had this happen a lot. I don't know how many people are playing college football.
I can't believe we were just talking about Colorado for 10 minutes and you didn't bring this up.
I know. Well, I just got over it. I was running real hot. No, now that I'm thinking about it. So I don't know. I mean, we know Christian Gonzalez, friend of the show, also plays the game.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened to me multiple times where the computer, who's supposed to be a teammate of mine, interferes with me. For example, I'm horrible at defense, but I finally forced a punt and game on the line. I call for a fair catch because even then I'm like, I don't trust it. They might make me fumble. I don't trust it. Call for a fair catch. Some idiot just backs into my guy. They collide, ball on the ground, fumble because it hit them like in the knee or something. Then Colorado gets the ball, kneels three times. I lose.
I like it.
The perfect season at Wyoming, out the window already.
But I think that's real. I've seen that happen.
Yeah,
Shouldn't happen there.
I've seen that happen too. You know what they say? In fact, I think you say this.
What's that?
It's a poor carpenter who blames his tools.
Yeah. Well, I did have carpenter shorts, but I am not a carpenter.
It also never comes
even
down
worse
to a
is
single
all
play.
The roughing the punters and roughing the kickers.
Dude, I've had to
you
like call.
You
yes.
can't rush. Stop. You're, now you're
Nick,
just fueled.
You are so onto this. You can't rush. You finally force a punt. You're like, oh my God, I finally got a third down stop. And then a guy you're not even controlling roughs the kicker. So I've had to call, like, dime defense on a punt and then just bring free safety back.
It's annoying. It's
fair
horrible,
catch it.
Actually.
We have a grab bag to get to.
I did win the Heisman last year.
Let me ask quickly. This is for you, Nick, and Billy, wherever Billy went.
You two can't
weigh in. Because Keith is ready to huck his controller. You're big on yelling at the refs and the officials, right? That's you?
Hart yells at everybody.
I've done it. I may have done it this morning from the press box while running the clock.
He got asked to do a jamboree, and he's screaming at the refs.
Isn't he one of us? What's the more egregious, the controller huck or the fan yelling at the refs there?
Oh, fan yelling at the refs because I've hucked controllers.
Yeah, but that's a biased answer.
Yeah, you're just defending your own ineptitude.
But now they're like 100 bucks, so I like pump fake.
Yeah. Oh no, I did I placed it down gently. I placed it down and like walked out of the room because like the one room has all the electronics. I'm like, if I have a hissy fit in here,
whoa,
big screen TV, PS5, computer, everything goes up in smoke. Like I
business opportunity.
Yeah, if anybody wants to sponsor my rage quits, please.
No. We come up with stuffed controllers that you can throw in anger so you don't break your real controller.
No,
that's
a good idea. It. I want some broken.
Nick,
rubber remotes.
Absolutely.
Rubber remotes.
Get Mark Cuban on the line. Hard, this is a Shark Tank idea.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It's a niche market.
Like lacrosse ball material.
Yeah.
No, lacrosse ball's hard.
That's pretty hard.
Too hard. Too much.
Okay. We need a little softer.
Or Nerf.
More like a memory foam.
Yeah, Nerf.
I like the Nerf memory foam.
Yeah, pillow remotes. Mr. Wonderful.
Easy.
I think Mr. Wonderful lives in Boston.
Scholes.
Does he really?
I thought
probably
so.
Probably listening. Yeah, Thanks for listening. First week of the show.
He's probably locked in. Gave away a free idea.
He stole it.
Damn, I know.
This
is a good idea.
Until I get that soft controller, I'll continue to just scream myself hoarse into a pillow. That usually works. You turn red.
I'm not touching.
Yeah.
My wife's like, are you sick? You sell it? I'm like, no. Just screaming myself hoarse.
What do you kids think?
Dad's a loser.
I think they're impressed overall. They don't know any different.
They will.
You almost be Colorado.
Where's my
grab bag?
What? Where is my
grab bag?
Big college football slate tomorrow, Jones. Of course, we talked about it, how it kicked off yesterday with Colorado. But you got some top 25 matchups. Any interest in this, fellas? Number one, Georgia versus number 14, Clemson at high noon tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
The time's not great.
High noon?
Why? You don't like the noon game?
No.
What are you doing?
Not this time.
Yeah, what are you
sleeping
doing?
In?
You don't want
hungover?
Me to say you're going to make sure I'm like...
Oh, no, I do want to... Now I have to hear it.
Yeah, and you're going to make it out to be that I'm something I'm not.
What
I'm going to be on the boat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it must be.
You mean the yacht? No.
Oh,
I can't get out on the boat.
Because if it were an actual yacht, yeah. I'd have a TV on it, and that's it wouldn't true. Be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boat.
You got a ham radio?
I probably can get it on my phone, though, right?
You have a phone, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you can for sure get it on your phone.
Yeah.
How's the Wi-Fi out there?
Fine, strong.
Yeah, okay. Then
you're yeah, good. Yeah.
Odyssey app works out there. You can probably get Odyssey app for, like, Clemson. They got Clemson game there.
I want video.
Clemson.
No offense to the Odyssey app.
He said,
I love audio. It's
said,
a great, great medium.
He said ham radio. I was building off of that. I see. Yeah,
I got you.
Sure,
also,
you want the video.
Notre Dame and Texas A&M. They also have a Sunday game because the NFL hasn't started
I
yet.
I like that.
LSU Southern Cal on Sunday.
Nice. LSU.
Yep.
Will Campbell. Start the scouting now.
Okay.
Left tackle of the future.
I don't want to scout that.
Wait, you got it.
Left tackle? How many pancakes? Remember when Orlando Pace was just pancaking guys and he was a Heisman candidate?
He invented it.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
I was never like, that's all about marketing. Because I don't care about left tackles. But that year, I was like, how many pancakes did he have? Did he have a bunch of pancakes? Put syrup on those pancakes?
When the moon hits Betty. Your eye like a big pizza pie, that's...
Grab bag?
So as you guys know, I'm a big Lana Del Rey fan.
Oh,
yeah.
You are?
Yeah. I went
have
to
you
the,
seen her?
I went. Yes, thank you for asking, Andy. I went to the concert at Fenway Park.
Oh, did you get your own
did
show
did it get
there?
Rained out?
It got postponed, and I gutted through the rain. My nice. Wife's like, I think we're good. Like, I'm like, nope, I got to see Lana Del Rey. She doesn't even like her. She
gotta
went
Lana.
To be nice.
Lana?
I say Lana.
Yeah.
You call her whatever you want, as long
sure.
as you call her an angel sent from heaven.
Jesus.
She can sing. Video Games is the name of one of her songs. Diet yep. Mountain Dew is a song. Summertime Sadness, you'll
anything
love that
I've
one.
Heard?
Young and Beautiful, maybe, off the Great Gatsby soundtrack. A lot of hits. Hard, don't worry about it.
I know
have
who
you
she
heard
is.
These?
I think I have, but I'm not
she
sure I could,
100
I could
best
sing
albums
one for you.
According to Apple Music.
Of all time?
Wow.
Yeah, dude, of all time. No, of yesterday. Yeah, of all time.
Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, it's Taylor Swift's girl.
Yeah, they are friendly.
By the way, she's drawn up plays for the Chiefs. You see that?
I did not.
Yeah, Taylor Swift
up,
is?
Drawn yeah. up plays.
I'm sure so, Andy Reid needs the help.
Yeah.
Listen to
show
this.
Me those nuggies again.
So the reason why I bring this up is she has a new boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Lana Del Rey has a new boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And you're not going to believe who it is.
James Devlin.
It's not James Devlin.
Belichick.
Nope. It's an alligator tour guide.
What?
No, she's too old for Belichick anyway.
Yeah. Oh, is she?
No, it's some guy who looks like he's on some like Discovery Channel show. He's wearing all camo. He
yeah,
like
no,
it's
if
an
you,
alligator tour.
You ever seen Swamp People?
He looks like a swamp person.
That's a swamp person.
Like the hell?
That's a swamp. All due respect
is he
to Swamp People.
Zoom in on.
He's
it.
Not
a swamp person.
He's not?
No,
there's
he's
another
not.
Photo of him.
No, he's a real. He's a schlubby looking
what
guy.
Say? A catfish.
That's a schlubby looking
deep
guy.
Deep into catfish when you get your arm under the water.
It's got a noodle.
Just, there's always a smell about it.
Arcan knows about noodling. Yeah. I was barehand catfishing. I bet he's barehanded a few catfish. Don't bing that on a work computer.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, I was like upset about that. I mean, as long as she's happy.
Wait, you thought you had a chance? Why
I
mean, are you
no,
upset?
No, I didn't think I did. Now I do.
Yeah, that's what he's upset about.
Your wife is on
that's
line
one.
Yeah,
she's like, wait a minute. Why
she
go
your hall
for
pass?
It? No, she's like, go for it. And you don't take them.
Grab bag.
Pumpkin spice is back. You guys in on this? You had your first pumpkin spice?
No, but I like that we're ushering in fall already. So like,
I love fall.
I'm not a big pumpkin spice guy, but I like that summer's over and we're into the fall. I like that.
Yeah, these summer days.
I'm not a boat guy like
no,
you know Captain Moneybags over here. But yeah, I like that fall's here. Yeah.
Why?
I like hoodie weather.
You're wearing a hoodie over
like
there.
I like hoodie
crisp
weather.
Fall
short
weather?
Sleeve hoodie. This is the new thing. This
I guess
that's true.
I couldn't
enjoyable.
See the sleeves
yeah.
there. That's
like
true.
Not the flex right there.
Yeah.
Short sleeve.
Nick,
no,
Nick,
I hate pumpkin.
Oh yeah,
space.
I've been crushing pumpkin donuts like nobody's
smashing
business.
Pumpkin
Ew.
Donuts back there. I love that. Bill,
nice.
You big pumpkin guy or no?
I enjoy it. I don't search it out, but more of that. This is the apple cider donut time of year.
Oh, there you go. See, Billy and I, we connect.
That's a good stuff.
Spice.
I enjoy
pumpkin. Baby food that they try to sell you on being yummy.
Like I'll get a donut before the coffee flavored one.
No.
Is there any pumpkin spice fried branch balls that I could try?
Oh, check the tables over there. You know, I didn't
right.
love it.
Nothing to write home about.
Yeah, I didn't love it. It wasn't the worst thing.
It can be improved upon.
Yeah, they put cream cheese in it, so there was a little
I
bit
liked
of that.
That idea because I like crab rangoon.
Billy said you got to throw in a little buffalo chicken.
Now I'm in.
That would spice
again,
that
Billy
up.
Billy and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fat
guy,
bag.
Former big guy.
Former big guy.
Yeah, you're former big guy.
Appreciate
that. I've heard the reads. You're doing a nice job.
I don't
want
to call you fat. You were bigger.
You and Chad.
I was husky. I went with
former
husky
guy.
Husky.
Grab bag.
All right. So that'll do it for the grab bag here on a Friday. 1 week in the books, Jones and Keefe.
Wow. You made it.
It's good. We did it. Now we have a long weekend. We can recover. We can rest. We can
stop our coach to get in work on Tuesday.
TBD.
It always is. It always is.
What do we got today, Arcan? Hart, what do we got?
Well, we're going to be recapping the Buffalo's courageous win over South Dakota State.
He does have his Colorado shirt on. You're going to find this out, Andy. He's a very fair-weather, lukewarm Buffs fan.
No, I'm just a critical fan. Unlike you, it's just, Deion Sanders. Oh, I love him. He's the best. I love Deion.
I do like him, yeah.
I also would have worn the shirt today because based on the way they played, I'm not sure how many times you'll be able to wear that shirt.
That's a good point.
That was a W, just so you know. They won.
Yeah. And,
1-0. Yeah. Just like last year.
Exactly. 1-0.
2-0. And then
yeah, and how'd that
apart?
Finish?
Poorly.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have several new segments we'll be debuting today.
Ooh, love that.
And if they all fail, then we're not going to do them ever again. But we're going to try them out today.
Give me an idea.
And see how they go. We got the spin zone coming where we will spin certain topics. That everybody seems to have come to an agreement on.
Get like a dryer company to sponsor that.
Nice.
Ooh, I like that. Spin zone, spin cycle.
I'll take a Maytag or something.
We'll be bringing back one, Jones, that you remember this week in social media on Friday.
It's
a Friday thing. We'll have Twism back. Not the Shaq thing. People often confuse it with that, but
it's
not
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep. And what's the other one? We got one more.
Sniff test.
Oh, you guys are going to do a lot of sniffing?
We're going to sniff some things. Not Jackson, our producer, because he's apparently sniff compromised. He can't smell.
Has no smell.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He's nose blind.
Nose blind. That's
Is that an offensive term, Jackson? If you're offended by that, I don't like HR on me. The man's nose blind.
He can't smell a thing.
Well, I'm in on that. A little sniff test.
We pulled that on those deep fried ranch bites there earlier today.
Sniff test.
All right. Well, stay tuned for all that here with Arcan and Hart. Have a great long weekend. We will talk to you Tuesday at 10 o'clock. I think we're going to talk to one of the Patriots coordinators that day, some Patriots players on a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday on WEEI.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.